Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Cheryl Pounder from the World Juniors in Edmonton. Cheryl, how are you today?
I'm good, guys. I'm here in the building, freezing my tush off, actually, upstairs. But the media meals have been excellent with some hot soup. So doing well over here and enjoying a lot of hockey.
So Team Canada, I'm not going to say two easy wins, but I'm going to call them progressive wins because you saw the build from one game to the next.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on what you've seen so far from Team Canada?
Well, certainly, I mean, there's great depth up front. I think we've seen that. You look at their top six, and then all of a sudden you have a look at that third line as well, which was producing, and just the chemistry between Bedard and McTavish. I mean, some sick stuff going on out there. It's been amazing to watch. But certainly anytime you're in a short-term tournament, I think specialty teams, you want to make sure they're crisp. You want to make sure you're keeping it simple early and just trying to build on it, right? So build every game so that by the time you get to the playoffs, you are ready to go, and I think that's what Dave Cameron wants. He wants to know exactly what lines are clicking and hoping that all four are, but certainly I feel strong about it. You know, a big question mark for me coming in was going to be what the back end looked like without guys like Gouley and, of course, Owen Power, but I feel like guys like Zellweger and Zabrango have really stepped up, and I've been impressed. And so looking forward to the next game against Czechia tomorrow, which I think will certainly be, you know, a more difficult task.
So, Cheryl, we heard Dave Cameron, Jim and I were just talking about how Dave Cameron was saying that a guy like Mason McTavish, who's already been drafted and, you know, is obviously well-established as an elite junior player, he had every reason not to play in this tournament, right? And on top of, you know, on top of just, you know, the reasons that might come into a player's own, you know, selfish reasons for being ready for NHL camp and on down the line, there's that whole dark cloud hovering over this tournament to boot. But what do you make of a kid making a decision to go out there and don that jersey when he really didn't have to, and a lot of people maybe would have been encouraging him not to?
Well, I think, you know, in some ways it just sends a strong message throughout his whole lineup, and it's why he's a leader on this team. You know, I think he's embraced where he's at. He wants to play in this tournament. That's evident. And I think it's transferred to the ice. I think there's a recognition, you know, that he wants to be here. Look what he's gone through this year. I mean, he was at the Olympic Winter Games. He was at the Memorial Cup. And he still elects to come. And so I really believe that that just sends a strong, strong message right through his lineup, which, you know, into Canadians, saying this guy really wants to be on the ice. He wants to play. And in fact, we were talking about it on the panel last night during the game that he looks like he's having so much fun. And I mean, of course you're having fun when you're playing with Connor Bedard and you're putting up 6 points in a night. But more than that, just the urgency to his step, you know, outside of the points, what I loved was, you know, his ability to get to the puck first, his separation. When the puck was lost, he tracked back hard and above the puck. So those habits that really sent, you know, show leadership and the reason he's here, he wants to win.
Cheryl, just as an overview, you know, we do the games with Sean Simpson, and in our pre-games and post-games, we're talking about the construction of this team on the radio I'm talking about. And when you look at the names on this team, there's talent there. There's no question about that, but it's not top-heavy, is it? I mean, it's kind of a, I don't want to say working-class team, but it has that sort of look about it, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and I think that's what you need. You need players on a team, like anything. It's not always, you know, having four lines of all elite goal scorers or back-end defenders that are all rushing defensemen who transport the puck. It's a balanced lineup that you have to figure out the puzzle pieces in a short-term tournament. And I think that's what Dave Cameron is looking forward to here. And you're starting to see little combinations that are working well together. But yeah, Jim, I mean, you know, it's so important that everyone knows what they need to do. You know, they know what their strengths are. You know, a guy like Zach Ostachuk is going to be hard on the puck. He's going to lay his body out. He's going to try and, you know, create room for Greg and DeFore if that's who he's playing with. And then you've got your guys like McTavish and Bedard who really found their connection together. I still think that second line, you know, is still looking to find sort of their certain something, you know, and that's where the build comes. You know, I expect them against the Czechia tomorrow to find a little bit more of that. And so it's about building, right, throughout that lineup. No, you don't have Owen Power, but now you have a combination on the back of Donovan Zabrango and Olin Zellweger. You know, Zabrango making good defensive decisions. And, of course, as that stay-at-home defender, I love that. Just protect the middle of the ice and deflect to the perimeter and all of those things. So, for me, you know, when you're looking at constructing a team, you want to find a team that has different layers and different looks. And I think that this team has that. And if they can build throughout the tournament, there's good things to come.
So, Cheryl, obviously we talked a little bit about Connor Bedard already and the incredible chemistry he's shown alongside Mason McTavish. We also just went through an NHL draft where a guy in Shane Wright, who was projected for years to be the number one overall pick in the 2022, turned out to be the number four overall pick.
Yep.
Bedard right now projected by a lot of people to be number one. Since we're on overdrive, if you just throwing it out there, your Jerry's percentages that Connor Bedard becomes the number one pick, actually follows the projections through and gets to June of next year as number one, seeing what you're seeing and hearing what you're hearing around the rink in Edmonton.
Dave, I don't see how he's not. And the interesting thing, you know, when we're here and we're in the building and you see the highlight reels and you see the unbelievable plays and you see the finish and you see him drive through the middle of the ice. But what I am amazed at is his hockey sense away from the puck. And so when you're sitting up top and you don't always see that overhead look when you're sitting at home and you're watching on your television, but the way he skates, the way he finds openings, the way he slides off coverage, the way he goes east-west and skates on diagonals to open up lanes for other players, these are things that, you know, just incredible to see that kind of, you know, cerebral play on the ice. And then he has the skill when he has the puck as well. So, you know, I can't see it going any other way than numero uno, to be truthful, for what we're seeing out here. And then, you know, even him taking a hit yesterday to be able to get that puck and move it up to McTavish. I think those are elements within his game as well that we're seeing here that you don't always focus on those. You're often focused on the unbelievable pass or the finish, but man, there are so many other elements and layers to his game that lead me to believe that, hey, you know, he's going to be numero uno.
You know, I just did a flashback of watching him in last night's game, and I'm going to throw this at you. When you watch him play in real time, it's like you're watching an edited pack, isn't it? Because you see the adjustment on each shift. You'll go in one way, and that didn't work, and you see the adjustment, and you go, this is in real time.
Yeah.
Guys, it's unbelievable. I keep a notepad, and, you know, you mark down plays that you kind of might pass together. And honest to God, one piece of paper and then the first 5 minutes of the game was almost gone because just the number of plays that were made, you know, by him and other players on this Canadian squad and, you know, that sometimes are overshadowed by the brilliance, that he does show and display on the ice alongside, of course, McTavish last night. But yeah, you know, even if you paused him coming through the middle of the ice, in the first game, you know, his wide stance. You know, we're so used to seeing, you know, say a Connor McDavid come through with that neutral upper body, and it's so hard for the coverage to read which way he's going. And I often feel like with Bedard, you know, he has that wide stance coming through, and he is so dangerous because his opponents never know when he's going to shoot because he's got that quick release shot. The goaltenders don't know where it's going because they can't take a read on it. And so it just makes him so difficult to stop, and we can't believe it. Some of the magic that he's creating out there from up above.
So, Cheryl, what's it like in Edmonton right now? You talked about how the arena's cold. It's probably hot outside, but the soup is hot in the media room to keep you warm. But I mean, obviously, we're so used to this tournament being a holiday season tradition, whether, you know, being held in Europe or held in North America. It's a wintertime thing. You know, how bizarre is it to be at a World Juniors in Edmonton? And what are some of the things that are striking you as you walk around and take in the atmosphere?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, you know, this is my first time working a World Junior Championship. I have been a spectator in the building when Canada has played and the unbelievable atmosphere that comes at Christmas time. I think it's kind of synonymous with that time of year as well. Summertime, it's a little more difficult. So, yeah, it's an empty barn. We see more seats getting filled as the Canadian games have gone on. So hoping that, you know, there will be more in the building later on. But it's interesting when you go down below and you see the way and the approach that these young men apply to their warm up, what they're doing. They are so intensely focused on putting the best performance out there on the ice. And so for myself, that's what you always come back to is what these men want, what they're trying to achieve for, you know, their fellow countrymen and women. And so I think that's what's so special about the event. And it's been great to be up above and to be able to watch some of the young prospects and the talent that is out there. It's been exciting from up here and talking with panelists, and I've really, really been enjoying it.
Okay, so let's get into this. I mean, the state of Hockey Canada has been a topic for a number of months now, for obvious reasons. How would you upgrade the state of Hockey Canada right now?
Well, I mean, it's you know, I spoke about it the other day, and it's an emotional subject for me, of course, having played for Canada for a number of years, donning the jersey and playing for fellow Canadians. And sure, there's a cloud. Certainly, there's being a lot of tough questions and tough conversations that are happening. And we can only look forward to actionable change. And that's something that we've talked a lot about. And I think that, you know, that's what's happening right now is there's a lot of talk about what needs to happen, about the culture, not just in, you know, hockey or sport, but in society, and how we foster an environment that helps with this. And, you know, as a parent, as a coach, you know, what can I do as an individual to help, you know, whether I'm working with kids or the people I talk to or myself, our behaviors that affect others. So I think there's a lot of conversation, a lot of good, tough, authentic conversations that are happening about change. And I said the other day, the ugly truth along with the good truth that sport brings.
Cheryl, you know, you had a great segment with James Duthie and Bob McKenzie talking about a lot of these issues the other day on the broadcast. And one of the things that struck me that I took away was just that you actually had a moment where you went down, where you had your jersey, your Hockey Canada jersey framed, and actually contemplated taking it down. Take us through that thought process.
Well, I think it's like anything. When you're emotionally charged on something and you're upset, it's so difficult to process and digest. And at first glance, you kind of walk down and you had a look. And not that I wasn't extremely proud in those moments. And I talk about that being the good truth of what I went through in my journey and what sport gave to me and what playing hockey and representing Canada with alongside those other women, what that was like. And I talked about my daughters and the enjoyment that they've gotten out of sport. They love it. They're friends. And then, you know, the ugly truth. And for me, when I looked at it at first glance, I thought of the ugly truth for a second, and I didn't consider the good truth that I'd been through. And so it took some reflection, you know, in time, you know, in talking and conversations to say, this is staying up. This is staying up in my basement because, you know, I need to be reminded of those ugly truths. I need to be reminded, you know, for my own authenticity and how I behave and act and the people I work with and coach and parenting and everything else. I am not afraid to ask tough questions, but at the same time, you know, there were so many wonderful things that I got out of sport. So many great memories, so many great relationships that have helped shape me. And so, you know, those conversations have been open to my family now. And it was sad and it was hard and it was so difficult, guys, to have those feelings and still have them. I mean, it's conflicted. It's a struggle. But, you know, we need to do things and find ways to have actionable change. And it's not going to happen overnight. I think we're all very aware of that. But we need to take steps to ensure that, you know, culture, not just in sport, but even within our society, changes.
Yeah, you know, you brought up a couple points there that sort of resonate for everybody. You know, it's a methodical process to go through all the accusations and the things that were done wrong, and very methodical to repair it to make sure it never happens again. And in this particular case, as you say, there is a positive lining to some things that happened there that can pull us forward. That doesn't always apply in a lot of things that we're dealing with right now.
No, and I think, you know, it's different for everyone, and we all recognize this is a polarizing, you know, subject. It's so difficult. And, you know, even choosing to come, it was uncomfortable. You know, you have to make those decisions to have such tough conversations around it. But if we want actionable change, we have to look at it all. And for me, you know, my truth is through my own personal experience, but you cannot erase either. You cannot erase the ugly stuff that's going on because it's what's going to push us forward. We have to deal with it. We have to find ways to eradicate it the best way we know how. Of course, as seamless, as quick as possible. And there has to be action. And when I mean action, I mean, you know, it truthful, transparent, and authentic action to make these changes. Because again, it isn't just about our kids. It isn't just about us. It's about everyone. And so I think, you know, it's a big step. But for me, again, you know, I did have good experience as well in sports. So I didn't want to forget them and all those wonderful memories that I'd made, and adversity and teamwork and all of those messages that applied through winning with Canada. And so, you know, that's kind of why I came back to leaving the jersey in my basement up and continuing to coach and work with my young teams and to broadcast.
Cheryl, I think one of the points that was made when the Hockey Canada brass was brought to Parliament Hill on a couple of occasions was that, you know, they were represented by a bunch of men in suits. And, of course, we know Hockey Canada, and you know Hockey Canada to be an organization that's made a lot stronger on the ice by women winning gold medals. You won a couple of them. As an alumnus of the women's national team, I'm wondering, you know, how do you feel about the idea that there is certainly a push from the outside to get more women involved in the upper echelon of that organization? We have yet to see, I mean, I know that Andrea Skinner has been named the interim chair of the board, but we have yet to see any real action in terms of, you know, increasing the number of women in, you know, prominent roles. What are you hearing, you know, in your circles about the possibilities of that, and what might that do to the organization?
Well, I think there's always, when you're going to have change, you have to always open up to people and candidates that are suited for those roles, whatever gender they may be. And I've always felt that way. You know, who is going to be, you know, the best person, or who are the people that can help affect this change? You know, and it's, you know, when you look at it from the outside, and I'm not hearing too much on the end because I'm just so involved in the game right now. But you always look to having people involved that have a healthy understanding of what they're dealing with, the game, all of that. So for me, it's always about choosing the right person. And if that is a female, then that is a female. If it's a male, it's a male. I think it's important, though, that we start to have the dialogue around who and where and why and all of those tough questions that we have to ask. Because really in any organization, whether, you know, if it's coaching or if it's in corporate or if it's anywhere, you want the right and the best people for the job available. And so that's the way I've always looked at it, whether it's coaching or anything else. And I highly encourage, I know in the coaching world, I really want more women to get involved in grassroots hockey. You know, I think that's also a big element to getting involved with working at the younger levels and having the confidence to continue on through the levels of coaching in the game and just giving back.
Cheryl, thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.